Well, a very warm welcome to St. Margaret's this morning. I'm Reverend Mike Biss, I'm the vicar here, and welcome to those who are here and to those who are watching from the comfort and the warmth of their beds at home. Time to get up. Thank you to Deborah, who's playing the organ for us this morning. Next Sunday afternoon, along at Holy Trinity, we've got a confirmation service. The bishop's coming. And we have six candidates from our two parishes, and there's four from this parish. So please do remember to pray for them. Big moment, particularly for the youngsters in their lives. Start of Lent is the week after that, so 2 weeks' time. We've got pancake party on Tuesday, the 1st of March, 6 o'clock in the sanctuary, and then a service of ashing on Wednesday. And then also, very exciting, we've got a concert at Holy Trinity on the 20th of March. You'll see it's there. It's the Wickham Chamber Choir. That's right. And that will be just a lovely thing to do on a Sunday afternoon, along to Holy Trinity, 4 o'clock, Chamber Choir, and then tea and cakes afterwards. You can't beat that, can you, really? No. Well, you can, because David's about to lead our service for us. So, David, be better than tea and cake.
Thank you, Mike. Just a reminder also that the pancakes on Shrovetree is Tuesday. Tuesday is the 1st of March. The World Day of Prayer at St. Margaret's at 1:45 on Friday, the 4th of March. And yeah, the Wickham Orpheus Melbourne Choir Concert at St. Michael's Beaconsfield is on the 19th of March. These are all there on your sheet, just I'm reminding you, that's okay. And Wickham Chamber Choir on the 20th of March. We pray for Jeff Pierce. Pray that his space at the Amersham Hospital may be available for his recovery from having a pacemaker. Jill and David Winder, John and Angela Watts, and the confirmation, of course, Gary, Rachel, Thomas, Arthur, Albert, and Emma next Sunday at Holy Trinity. Thank you. So let us take our sheets. Welcome to this service. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be
glad. Our first hymn is 940. Yes. Nearer, my God, to thee.
Thank you.
Now we come to our confession. Please be seated. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
So may God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme above all things, now and forever. Amen. And now we have the readings, Genesis and 2 Corinthians.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis chapter 45, beginning to read at verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, beginning to read at verse 1, Paul's vision and his thorn. "I must go on boasting, Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sylvia and Sue. We thank Sylvia for standing in for Sally Clements. The next hymn is number 593, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 18. Begin to read at verse 35. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Gracious Father, would you draw close to us? Speak into our minds and our hearts by your grace. Amen. Please do be seated. What you're about to be subjected to this morning comes out of an issue that bothers me. Sorry if it doesn't bother you. It's called scratching where someone doesn't itch, and that's just irritating when that happens. But you hear of great things that God has done in the past, and you wonder why he doesn't do them here today. And what I want to talk about are two types of grace. The grace where God acts, and the grace where God doesn't act. If he can act, why doesn't he? We've got a couple of examples, then we'll have an opportunity to talk about it together, so pay attention because there'll be some audience participation. Now, I want to start, and this is one of the examples, with a clip about the Welsh Revival. This was 1904-1905, and it's relevant. The chap talking, wonderful Welsh accent, if nothing else, enjoy that. He's obviously speaking to a group of people in America about his experience of the Welsh Revival. Now, God's Spirit is working through his people all the time, everywhere. He's here with us this morning. But in revival, there is such a move of the Spirit that it overflows from the church and it affects the population. It changes society. So in the Welsh Revival, the church is filled up, they overflowed, and so they built all the hundreds of chapels all over Wales just to fit the people in. It had that effect. So this is it's a clip about the Welsh Revival. So 5 minutes, so settle down, enjoy this. It's lovely. Let's go.
I met our brother here with some friends in a Welsh town called Dowlas. Dowlas is up the tracks from our village about 6 miles. I worked with a lot of men in the coal mines from Dowlas. They were nearly all from Dowlas, the fellows that I worked with. Let me tell you a little story about Dowlas. It's how the Welsh Revival came to our village. The schoolmaster in our village was a man called T.C. Thomas. This was in 1904. He heard that the great Welsh revivalist, Evan Roberts, was in Dowlas. And so after school one evening, he went up to Dowlas and, like everyone else, caught fire. You just could not go into those revival meetings without catching fire. He came down after the service was over. He came down on the Welsh coal, on the coal miners' train. He'd gone into the village about 9:45. Now, I don't know if it's the same now, but at 10 o'clock, all the taverns closed. I think it might be a little later now, but 10 o'clock, all the taverns closed. He came off the train at the railway station, the railroad depot. He was so filled with God that he couldn't go home. He wore a top silk hat and silk tails and a silver knob cane. And he got off the train, came out of the railroad station, and right there on the road, in those days, even when we were younger, they were still cobbled stones. He took off his hat and lay down his cane and got on his knees and began to sing the praises of God. You see, we will learn perhaps better one day that this whole world moves on music, on sound impulses, music. And what a great thing it is to express the things of God in music. The Apostle Paul said that one of the great signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit is singing to yourselves, not speaking to yourselves, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He's put a song in our hearts. Hallelujah. And so my grandmother was coming up the hill, the bottom of the village, coming up with a friend of hers that we got to know very well, Mrs. Naomi George. They were coming up and they heard this singing. And they couldn't tell where it was coming from. And she went to the janitor of the Church of England, again a dear old lady that I knew in later years, Mrs. Burnell, and said, Mrs. Burnell, you've locked the vicar in the church. And Mrs. Burnell said, never. She said, oh yes, we can hear him singing. And so Mrs. Burnell got the key and went to the Church of England, which of course was also the Church of Wales, but the Church of England, and there was no vicar in the church. And they could hear this singing, coming from nowhere, but coming from everywhere. You see, just below, just 50 yards, or less than that, below where T.C. Thomas was singing, was the Station Hotel, a tavern. And the men heard him sing. You've never really heard him singing until you've heard a bunch of Welshmen outside or inside a tavern singing. And someone said, T.C. Thomas has gone mad. He's on his knees up there singing. And some of them with the glasses in their hand went up and they stood around poor old T.C. Thomas. And there he was with tears streaming down his face and his hands up to God singing because all Welsh hymnology is packed full of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he was singing and magnifying the blood of Jesus. And you know, just 15 yards above it is Sammy's billiard hall. Oh, I played billiards in Sammy's many times. And the fellas looked out of the window and they said, T.C. Thomas is going mad. And so they put down their billiard cues and came out, and some of them with a cue still in their hand, and they stood around poor old T.C. Thomas. And now here they were from the Station Hotel, here they were from Sammy's billiard hall. It was only 9:45 at night, and now by 10 o'clock we'll say, and some of the women came out, and strange things began to happen. T.C. Thomas was quite unaware of any of them being there. He was praising God. And then one man with a beer glass in his hand got down on his knees and began to join with T.C. Thomas. And another, and another, and another. Until by the time my grandmother came up the hill, there they were, dozens of men, some of them with beer glasses in their hand, some of them with billiard cues in their hand, housewives with their aprons on, standing around, falling on their knees. And that night, scores of people gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Not a preacher near them. The Holy Spirit falling, hallelujah, singing and praising and magnifying Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a Scottish chorus that says, it's a prayer that says, once more, Lord, once more. Scotland's had some great revivals. Not national ones like Wales, but great revivals. Once more, Lord, once more, as in the days of yore, on this dear land thy spirit pour, set Scotland now on fire. Wouldn't it be great if men and women of all communions, it doesn't matter what, began to sing once more, Lord, once more, as in the days of yore. On this dear land thy spirit pour, set America now on fire. Hallelujah. That's how the revival came to our village. My grandfather never got saved. He would tell my grandmother, you come home here tonight after being in that meeting and I'll beat you up. And my grandmother and Naomi George would go to the church and say, we've got to be home before 10 o'clock tonight. That's the time that their husbands came out of the pubs, out of the taverns. We've got to be home. They were never home before 3 o'clock in the morning. Never, 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 never. Oh, how many times, I wish I could be here all day telling you how many times God moved and he's still the same. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That's our God. That's the God of the Church of England in time of revival. And we hear about these things in America, Wales, Scotland, all over the place. And of course, even in my time, we've had the Billy Graham rallies, Toronto blessing things in the church through the 1990s. So we know that the Lord does these things, but they're just on occasions. Yet in times of revival, they're commonplace. Why is it that's why they're called revival, of course. So we love it when God comes and fixes things, heals things, comes in power, fixes injustices, family issues, and all good. And we know these things do happen. But what happens when they don't? When God doesn't seem to come? So our stories this morning. The Old Testament lesson was of God's chosen people, and there's a famine coming, and God has to tell them, actually, you've got to go here to get food. Would have been easier, surely, for God just to say, look, you won't be subject to the famine. Blind Bartimaeus. St. Paul first, the reading of 2 Corinthians. He talks about seeing these amazing things. He talks about this, he knew a chap 14 years ago. Well, he was talking about himself. And he gets caught up into heaven. He has these visions. He's in heaven. And he's had the Damascus Road conversion. He's seen healing, miracles, whole thing. He asked God to take away the thorn in his flesh. He's saying to God, actually, there's so much more I could do. And God says, no, that's all right. We'll leave you with your thorn in your flesh. He goes, surely. So God doesn't answer that prayer. Blind Bartimaeus, on the other hand, shouting out to God, to Jesus. Jesus comes past, says to him, what do you want me to do? And he gets out, and he's healed. Bang, like that. So now we like the Bartimaeus idea, you know, where we ask God and he fixes it. He does it. We don't so much like the other side when he doesn't seem to answer. There's a story. I couldn't confirm it, but I heard it. It said it was true. There was this a Christian girl driving along. There's a lorry coming the other way, the lorry swerves for some reason, clips the edge of her car, sends her into a spin. Huge accident. Something gets caught in her throat, and she's suffocating. She's going to be dead in 2 or 3 minutes. A car pulls up, and it's in that car, there's a doctor. And it's not just any doctor. This doctor happens to be a throat specialist. And it's not just any doctor, but he's just on his way back from speaking at a conference about this implement that's been developed to release air in the throat from someone who's suffocating. And he's got this implement in his pocket. And he jabs it into her throat, and she's saved. And a little while later, she's getting married, and there's discussion in the family about whether she wants this high front wedding dress to cover the scar on her throat. And then she says no. She says, because the scar is testimony to God's goodness in saving me. Well, when you reflect on that story, she understood that as God sent this chap a miracle to save her. But of course, you've got to say to yourself, well, could the Lord not have stopped the lorry swerving in the first place? So she'd never got into the accident. I would prefer the Lord to do the first thing, to stop the accident happening in the first place, rather than fixing the thing after it happens. But it doesn't seem to be that way. So the Lord's grace seems to come in two forms. One is the form where he heals and acts, and the other form is where he sustains us through the hardship. They're both grace from God, but one acts instantly and the other sustains us through the hardship. Of course, we understand these things in principle in our heads, but of course, when we're in the point of suffering, it's rather different. And actually, we just want God to stop the suffering. Now, we're going to stop just now. An opportunity to turn to your neighbour. Those stories about accidents and Bartimaeus and that kind of stuff, and why God sometimes acts and sometimes doesn't, and whether you've had experience of that, how that makes you feel, what's going on. So a couple of minutes, talk to your neighbour, and then we'll have a little bit of feedback. And I'm hoping someone here's going to have an answer to all this, because I can tell you, I know what's happening next and I don't have an answer. So hopefully you'll. Anyway, off you go. Thank you. So, everybody, I'm looking forward to hearing the answer to this question. So, thoughts, anybody? There's a lot of talking going on. Possibly nothing. We got nowhere in our group. Unfortunately, I had David in my group, so we got very nowhere at all. Anyone? Thoughts? Yeah, John.
I think we're a lot of doubters. And until we've actually seen something happen and we've been a witness, we aren't able to spread the word very easily. And I think that if that lorry hadn't swerved, no one would have been able to recount that kind of miraculous, in many ways, event. And I think people need to be a witness. And sometimes you just don't get the opportunity, but sometimes you do.
Good point. But, that has obviously good things happening here. Anyone else with wisdom on this? Stick a hand. At the back here. Here we go. Right.
I wouldn't describe it as wisdom exactly, but in my experience, I had 2 years of a great job in America, and then 2 years of a very difficult time with a bad boss, bad clients, and bad projects, and it was just kind of miserable. And I kept asking to get a new job. I obviously did because I'm here, but it took a long time. And meanwhile, I was asking for grace, and I found that wherever I asked for grace in the morning to get through the day, I would find by lunchtime, I would suddenly recall that I'd asked for that grace, and that I felt completely different about the day, and I felt very positive, and it had been, nothing had changed in my circumstances, but I'd been able to move through it very positively. And I think when you try and change your own mind, it's really hard to do that, to think positively, but that, I absolutely describe that as grace, getting through those difficult things.
Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Okay, anyone else? Oh, yes. Right.
I'm a teacher, so this is getting back on me, like being picked on in class. Well, I would think part of God's grace is giving us free will and giving us the opportunity to learn and experience. And thereby, if we experience things which perhaps we would have not wanted, we then have empathy and sympathy to help other people.
Yeah, you've just taken my sermon away now. I've got to come to exactly that. So, well done. That's the right answer. No. Anyone else? David. Yeah, thank you.
No one to speak to, but we shall never fully understand God's ways. But whatever befalls us, we do know that God will never leave us, never forsake us. And that's what gives us the strength to continue in.
Absolutely, that was the other part of my sermon. So, thank you, David. So I'm going to preach the rest of my sermon undeterred, even though you've answered it, so well done. Jesus, when he was here, spoke a lot in stories and parables. And they say that a picture paints a thousand words. Because often when you try and describe something in sentences and words, it can't do it adequately. So Jesus used pictures and stories a lot, because you can convey more. So, a couple of stories, these are personal ones. So my story, and I'm sorry, some of you have heard this, many of you have heard this before. 8 years ago, January 2003, I had an operation for cancer. A couple of weeks after the operation, you go back to the hospital in Wickham to get the results of the biopsy. Now, I had told myself, and I had mentioned this to the Lord, if they said that they weren't sure that they got all the cancer out and I would need chemotherapy, I was going to say no, thank you. I'm not a brave person. I discovered I haven't got a brave cell in my body, so I'm hugely impressed by those people who get cancer and they fight it. I wasn't fighting anything. I sort of crumble to dust in the face of this thing. So the day before I was going back to the hospital, in the morning, sitting on the sofa in the vicarage, I can still picture myself there, and the Bible passage for that day was St. Paul writing the bit about, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he goes on to say, actually, that if I'm to go on living, it's because God wants me to, and because he's got something for me to do. And I sat there and went, oh no. Because what God was saying to me was that, Mike, this thing about the chemotherapy and your treatment, he said, actually, that's for me to decide. That's not for you to say that you've had enough, you're going to give up and die. In the end, of course, so that's how the Lord spoke to me. And that was... Because in the midst of all of this, and there were, how do I describe it? So my biggest fear in all of that operation was that God hadn't noticed. It's interesting. I just didn't want to feel that I was alone. It's weird, isn't it? I'm surrounded by all of you, lot, family and the rest of it. But somehow... you feel alone in all of this. And I wanted that God knew. And so for me, this meant that God knew, because he sent this verse to me the day before and spoke to me very, very clearly. So, my story. Could the Lord have prevented my cancer? Could he have healed it? Yes, he could. I know that. Did that experience draw me closer to the Lord? And did he reveal his grace to me in new ways through it? Yes, he did. Did I know the Lord sustaining me in those dark times? And there were dark times when you feel alone, all the rest of it. Well, yes, I did. Did the Lord send the cancer to teach me something? No, he didn't. It's part of life and part of our human condition. Did he draw close in compassion and care through it? Yes, he did. Would I want cancer? No. Am I grateful for the Lord's sustaining hand? Yes, I am. Both of these are grace. One is not better than the other. Both are grace because they are God and the hand of God. One last personal story. When I was a kid, maybe 6 or 7 years old and on, I used to make these balsa wood aeroplanes. I don't know, children make these things nowadays, but little strips of balsa wood, and you covered it in tissue paper and you steamed it to shrink this tissue paper, and you took it down the park and you wound up the little propeller with the elastic band, you went like that, and it went poof, and ended up a little pile on the floor. You went home and you made another one. There kind of stuff. And I had a desk that I did this in the corner of the living room. And my father let me get on with it. Sometimes I'd make mistakes and I'd get frustrated. Sometimes I would ask for help and he would give it to me gratefully. Now, he could have made those aeroplanes himself, and they would have been much better than what I could, than what I made. But it wasn't about making aeroplanes. It was about learning. It was about relationship. It was about me in the corner of the living room as a little lad with my head down, my, you know, sort of sticking bits of glue together, stuff like that, and my dad in the corner just kind of being aware that I was there and wandering past from time to time. Now, I suspect he occasionally would see me doing stuff wrong, realize I was doing it wrong, but would let me get on with it. And I guess sometimes he was frustrated because I didn't stop and ask him for help. But actually, he did let me get on with it, because the important thing was that I learnt. So I think that maybe that's an analogy of us with God. It's that God isn't as distant, as it were, as my father. We're talking here about the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, being the Holy Spirit within us, being alert to us, ready to help when we ask, disappointed perhaps when we don't ask, seeing us getting frustrated and bothered and all the rest of it, and just saying, well, if you just ask, I can come and help you. And all those things. And so me making those models, it was about the journey. It was never about making aeroplanes. It was about the journey. And I think that's what my dad enjoyed about it. Learning skills and things, not about flying aeroplanes. And so for us, I think it's the journey that God is enjoying. Yes, there's a destination. He's looking forward to spend the rest of eternity with us. But I think it's the journey now. We want answers. We like that thing where we ask God and boof, he does it. We like that. But it seems that most of the time he doesn't work that way, because what he wants to do is to spend the time with us, have the journey with us. So we learn and we travel with him and all that kind of stuff. And of course, as Paul concluded, his power is made perfect in our weakness. So it's one of these things, intellectually we understand all of that. When we're actually suffering, when we're in the middle of it, we just want God to stop it, to step in right now. When we see injustice, we say, why don't you, all that kind of stuff. And that's right that we do that. But also, in all of it, as David said, we know that God is good, and we know his sustaining hand in it all. A moment of quiet, just, I'm talking at you. Here, but just to pause and open your hearts and your mind to your Heavenly Father. Talk to him about the stuff that's bothering you, where you're suffering, you want him to stop and say, what's going on? And I need your sustaining hand in all of this. And then in a moment we'll sing again. But a moment of quiet before we do that.
Thank you, Mike. We've sung Nearer, My God, to Thee. We've sung What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And now we sing Be Still, because the Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. We sing Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Number 40. Hymn number 40.
Thank you. Please be seated. Please be seated. We're going to do the intercessions and then we'll finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for our clergy and our Bible readings in St. Margaret's today, and for sending the world your dear Son Jesus to help us through faith in him with the carrying of heavy and painful burdens in our lives and with grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peace in our world, that we should trust that love will always overcome mistrust and conflict, just as the teachings of love by Jesus overcame eventually the oppression of the Roman military. Help us to be Christian soldiers in our lives and in our communities, and always to do the right thing by Jesus. Help us to be kind to one another and to invite newcomers to come and see our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that our beautiful world will become safe for all the millions suffering from COVID and other illnesses. We pray for our world leaders that they and their peoples will oppose evil, corruption, and oppression. We pray that compassion, reconciliation, fairness, and mutual respect will overcome anger and division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens, who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing the difficulties of anxiety and loneliness or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love and grace is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for those on our notice sheet, Jeff Pierce and Jill and David Winder. We pray for those being confirmed next Sunday, Gary and Rachel Clark, Thomas Cooper, Arthur and Albert Thomas, and Emma Newton. And in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in a beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Help each one of us to be apostles of Jesus. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And now the Lord's Prayer together, which is on your notice sheet. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. Now let us stand and declare our faith in God. We believe God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now offertory hymn, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, number 278. Let's face each other across the aisle and say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And Christ, the Son of God, born of Mary, fill us with his grace to trust his promises and obey his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us all. Amen. Please join us for coffee in the sanctuary after the service. And so go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.